Hey guys, my name is Amy Coonan, and I'm your host for The Town Hall, Rubicon's first and only podcast where we share advice for techies, for earth lovers, and for penny pinchers. As much as I love the sound of my own voice, this broadcast is going to rely heavily on guests who are subject matter experts on everything, ranging from how to get your small business up and running, interviews with some of the brains behind your favorite apps, and even how to remove garbage from outer space. You never know who's going to pop up and join me next in studio, so make sure to subscribe to The Town Hall on iTunes to get our episodes downloaded directly. And if your boss is making you work through lunch or your commute is just too short and you miss something awesome, don't worry, we've got your back. You can check out our blog for recaps, reviews, and all things Town Hall. Hey, everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of The Town Hall. Today's interview is already one of my favorites, and we haven't even started yet. If you live in Brooklyn, you know him. And if you live anywhere else in the world, you're going to. I'm joined right now via Skype by Daniel Silverstein, better known as Zero Waste Daniel. So thank you so much for hopping on to hang out with me.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for such a sweet intro.
Oh, yeah. ZWD, let's talk about you a bit. Will you take me through all of your big steps professionally and personally that kind of got you where you are today? Walk me through what your timeline looks like.
Totally. So I guess working backwards, I'm about to turn 30. And in the first 10 years of my life, I think I established my career path as a designer. So when I was a little kid, I just couldn't keep my hands away from fabric and design. There's sort of an infamous story in my family about my mom coming home and seeing a collection, my very first collection that I designed at about 4 years old or 5 years old, made out of all of the tissues and all of the tape in the house, all over my sister's parties. And when I got in trouble for using all the tissues and all the tape, which I was then banned from using, she came home another day to find that I had used an entire roll of tinfoil and made an entire underwater scene. And so sculpted mermaids and all kinds of things. And so she relented and took me to a fabric store where I initially started working with scrap material. So we lived not too far from Amish country when I was a kid, and she took me to a local fabric shop where the community made their own clothing and sold remnants from their work as just a means of making a little extra money and keeping it in the economy. So I was able to fill up a brown paper bag for about a dollar. And that was like going to the toy store for me.
Right.
So over the next 10 years, I expressed tons of interest in design. I took sewing classes and weekend classes at FIT for high school students. I made costumes for high school musicals and prom dresses for my friends. And it was very clear that I was going to be pursuing a career as a designer. I went to FIT. I studied fashion design, and I graduated with top honors and fantastic internship experience. And it was just something that I was really passionate about. I was a bit of a nerd in school, always sort of pushing myself to experiment a little more or try a new technique or take a class that I wasn't required to, because I just really loved the art form. But as I studied, I learned from firsthand experience at internships in the design rooms and the like that there was so much waste everywhere. And this material that I used when I was a little kid was something that was grossly undervalued as a professional. So after about 6 months of trying to force myself to work in the industry post-graduation, I became completely fed up with that. And I started my own collection with the idea of having no byproducts at all.
We'll go into re-roll and all of that. But do you think that that was where your passion for sustainability was really sparked?
I had a couple of sort of capstone moments in school, I would say, that really got me thinking. So I remember in my freshman pattern making class, like pattern making 101, which is just sort of like 2D design for anyone who's not a designer or a pattern maker. Instead of draping things on a dress form or on a body, you are just designing flat on paper.
Right.
And flat on paper, you see how all of the pattern pieces, they're almost like cookie cutters and how they line up together. And my professor, Sandra Marcus, who I learned so much from, was always telling us, you know, you want to squeeze your pattern pieces as closely together as you possibly can, but there's always waste. And it's very frustrating because materials are really expensive and you end up paying for the material that gets thrown away. And she said, you know, just an offhanded remark, an extra sentence at the end of a lecture. If someone would make a pattern that had no waste, they'd be a millionaire. And I thought to myself, why is no one trying? Yeah. You know? And so little moments like that. I also got to participate in a design competition at FIT to make a pair of sustainable jeans. And I saw all of my colleagues and my classmates saying, I'm going to use organic cotton, I'm going to use natural dyes. And I thought to myself, well, yeah, we should all be using that stuff, but we have to use everything. This is something I've been learning since I was a little kid. And I designed with that approach. I brought it to my professor and she said, you're not going to win this competition, but you should keep doing this. So these little moments along the way really took me in that direction. Completely separately from my design career, my older sister is somewhat of an environmentalist, very conscious lifestyle. And, you know, as any little sibling looks up to their big sister, I always wanted to impress her. And she just didn't give a shit about fashion.
Right.
So it was always something that I kept in my mind. How do you keep someone who you want to impress interested in something they don't care about? And I think that subconsciously and eventually consciously, that became a part of my design process.
I love that. I love that. Obviously, I'm going to want to tackle a lot of topics. And, you know, I'm honestly still fangirling a little bit. But before we go into the solution and everything that you're doing, let's talk a little bit more about the problem. How big of an issue is waste in the fashion industry? And for those that don't know, or honestly, like you just said, don't yet care, and in this case about textile waste, why should we be talking about this issue? Why should we be paying attention to this?
I would say the main reason that everyone should be paying attention to it is that clothing is one of our basic needs. Food, clothing, and shelter are the things that we can't live without. It protects us from the elements. It does so much for us in terms of letting people know and understand our socioeconomic status, our beliefs, our religion. All of these things are so ingrained in our clothing.
Right.
And it's something that we all as humans believe, you know, we have a right to. And so whether or not you care about the fashion industry or what's the latest trend or on a runway, clothing is probably on you while you're listening to this. So the way it gets made touches you. And that's something that I think we need to reappropriate. I think it's something that we really see in the food industry happening really quickly. People are starting to understand how their food is getting to them and what it's made out of and how that affects their bodies and also how it affects the people who produce it. Clothing is very similar. Most clothing starts on a farm as a crop. And so pesticides, labor conditions, these are things that really affect the global economy and huge populations of people. Alongside from that, the landfill aspect is terrifying. So there's lots of things that can be done with leftover materials. And it's estimated that about 95% of textiles that end up in landfills could be recycled or upcycled or reused. So it's a staggering market failure and also a huge amount of waste that's being displaced in our environment. On top of that, over 21 billion pounds of textile waste were put into landfills in the United States in 2014, according to the latest studies. So when you look at 95% of that as being potentially recyclable, we're demanding incredible resources of the earth without using them to their capacity. And so it's just a broken system that whether or not you're super into the fashion world, the actual clothing that you're wearing, the linens you have in your home, the kitchen linens, the bed linens, your bathrobe, these are all things that are affected by this process because from tippy top all the way to the bottom of the industry, everything is made using a very similar process.
You know, let's jump right ahead. Let's talk about the solution. I mean, the problem is staggering. Like you said, the landfill effect is absolutely terrifying. And so there's some solutions, and there's a bevy of them, but let's talk about yours. Let's talk about ReRoll. You know, you see in every interview, in every article, you know, you've had a lot of fantastic press over the last couple years, Insider and Nylon. You know, they always describe it as, you know, Zero Waste Daniel is the first line of zero waste clothing made from ReRoll, which is categorized as the fabric of the future, and it's composed of 100% scrap material. So tell me all about that. You know, how do you get the scraps from different places? What do the pieces look like? What's that process of putting everything together? How'd you come up with this idea? It's insane.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been such a journey. So when I started making my work as an independent designer originally, I started making a high-end cocktail and evening line. And that was not using ReRoll. I hadn't yet come to the ReRoll solution. And so zero waste design can happen in a lot of different ways. And initially I was working with a design partner and we were doing all these flat patterns where everything would fit together like a jigsaw puzzle. And that's a great solution for anyone who isn't into ReRoll. But what I love about the ReRoll technique and the scrap material and the reuse of it is that there's such an abundance of this stuff. Like I said, 95% of the textiles that are going into landfills could be recycled or reused. So when I became aware of that at a commercial scale, I started thinking about how to reuse this stuff. And the idea of ReRoll comes again from that cookie cutter analogy, where if you're looking at, you know, what you would do when you roll out some cookie dough and you cut out all of your gingerbread men, you actually take the leftovers and ball them back up and roll them out again so you can squeeze a couple more cookies out of that. Right. And I started looking at these pieces of fabric and thinking, if I just put them back together, I could make another shirt. And what's interesting about it and what I've been doing is that every type of fabric reacts differently, is sewn differently, requires different thread, needle sizes, can be joined differently, has all kinds of different properties. And so the concept of ReRoll is something that can be invented and reinvented over and over and over again with every textile that it's applied to. But basically, what it boils down to is taking these odd shapes and small scrap materials and joining them together to make more fabric. I use a system of rules that I've developed to ensure that it will be flat and usable, that it is sturdy and won't fall apart. And we check it for things like holes and damage, just like you would any textiles for production. But what's most fascinating about it is that depending on the point of interception of waste, it can be as planned or as random as you want it to be. So ReRoll could be completely universal, uniform, beautiful, reproducible designs. Or like my collection, it can be made out of reclaimed textiles that are now making every single piece a one-of-a-kind because our textiles are always changing. And that's a little bit about the ReRoll technique.
So you also have a brick-and-mortar retail location in Brooklyn where you make like custom clothing, and a lot like the namesake, the shop also boasts zero waste. Yes. So for listeners who don't know, what does a zero waste shop mean or look like?
So it's exciting, actually. Right now, the shop is closed for renovations. We're reopening on November 15th with some really cool new features. But the original shop and the updated shop will always be zero waste. And so what that means in the store is a couple of different things. First, we make all of our textiles in the store. So if you're doubting this process or want to know more about it and see it up close, you can come and actually watch it happen, which is really cool. All of the offcuts of the offcuts stay in the store. Everything is in here. Everything I've collected, everything we use, it's all right here. So the first thing about zero waste is just not throwing things out. When you remove the waste bin from the equation, you start having to look for other solutions. And that is how I approach zero waste design. It's not with, you know, starting with a sketch or an inspiration or a mood board. It's looking at what do I have to use? And in terms of the actual way we run the business, it's in every aspect of what we do. So We have a policy for any team members working here, any contractors, anyone who's going to intern with Zero Waste Annual. No disposables come into the store. You're completely responsible for all of your personal waste. And I encourage the people who I work with to, you know, at least during the business hours that they're here, experiment with Zero Waste. Can you bring a reusable lunch container? Can you bring your own fork and knife? And we have some dishes here and things that can be reused. We also don't purchase any materials that come with disposables. And if we do, for example, printer ink is something that's really hard to get without soft plastics on it.
Right.
We collect those materials and I save them for other projects. So if I'm going to do a crazy costume or a one-of-a-kind piece, can I use that shiny plastic as an embellishment? And that's a little bit about zero waste in the shop.
So I think you already answered my own question, but do you live zero waste outside of the workshop, like in your own home?
I sure do. It's really important to me. I live with my boyfriend and we live as close to zero waste as possible. And it's always a challenge. And I think just living not zero waste is a challenge.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
You know, just being a conscious person in our complex world today is hard. It's always a question somewhere, you know, people want to fight for animal rights, but getting alternative proteins without disposable plastics is really hard. So you want to buy local grass-fed, but then it's wrapped in plastic. I mean, it's everywhere you turn, we come up against problems.
If I, you know, I've interviewed a fair share of zero waste influencers before, you know, I've talked to Bea Johnson. I'm going to talk to Lauren Singer from Trashes for Tossers. You know, what are some of your immediate tips and tricks for listeners who just want to make small changes that'll, you know, add up over time? What are some little things that they can do in their houses or in their offices? You went over the office, but, you know, in your own home, what are some low-hanging fruit?
I think the biggest thing is preparedness. And it's right on my website for anyone who wants to check it out. You can purchase one or DIY, but I have a little essentials kit that is just the things that I take with me every day. A reusable utensil, a cloth napkin that also doubles as a hanky. I'm a very messy person, so that comes in handy. A jar or a tin that you could use for leftovers, compost on the go, or water or beverages. And an emergency tote bag. You know, you never know when you're going to want to pick something up. If you want to swing by the grocery store, all of those little things. This fits in just a small, you know, like 10x5 cosmetic pouch. It's really easy to pop in your backpack or in a purse or keep it in your car or where, whatever your lifestyle is. It basically ensures at all times that if I want to grab food, if I need to, you know, clean something, whatever I'm doing, I have my basics covered, and it really helps avoid things like plastic forks, straws, disposable to-go cups, and things like that, plastic bags. And it's just, you know, phone, wallet, keys, essentials. And it's so easy.
I love that. I think that that's, you know, like they say, meal prep is the, you know, the best way to sustain any diet. I think you're absolutely right about being prepared. I do want to switch gears a little bit because there was something that I saw that I just thought was so cool, and I would be remiss if I didn't take the opportunity to ask you about it. You put on an event this year during Fashion Week a few weeks ago that I think is just brilliant. You know, you did a comedy show, one night with Zero Waste Daniel, Sustainable Fashion is Hilarious. How was that? Had you done anything like that before? What'd you talk about? What were the results? How cool was that for you?
Oh my God, that was one of the greatest nights. I realized not too long ago that one of my main motivations for speaking ever in my daily life or to a group of people is just to make people laugh. I get so much pleasure out of making people laugh, and I enjoy it. It brightens my day to see other people smile. And I think especially surrounding such heavy topics like sustainability and climate change and global awareness, you know, you have to be able to poke fun at things. You have to be able to reach people on a level that isn't pedantic or trying to be a prophet or, you know, a messiah of any kind. You're just trying to identify with people on a level that they can understand. After years of studying fashion, interning for fashion brands, working for fashion brands, I really have no interest in doing a fashion show ever again in my life. It's not something that speaks to me as a designer personally. And so what I wanted to do was do a show, but do something that was going to make me happy, which is to make people laugh. When I was a kid, I dabbled in acting, and so I have definitely a comfort level in front of a group of people, but I've never done comedy before, I've never written comedy before, and with the help of one of my best friends and my boyfriend, we workshopped it a little, and we were able to sell 100 tickets for Session Revolution, and we packed the room full of people, and we made people laugh. Little known fact about Zero Waste Daniel, one of my sort of like specialties in my personal life is doing impressions of people. So I did a couple of impressions and just talked about the like daily realities of trying to live zero waste or be a zero waste designer. Like how ridiculous it is that there's 17 kinds of watermelon in the grocery store and you can't get any of them without plastic. So it was a great event. It was really fun. And actually, since then, I did the show one more time, a co-working fashion space in Cincinnati while I was there teaching a workshop. So that was really fun.
That's amazing. Let's bring you down here to Atlanta and come do it for the office.
I would love to.
Oh my God, I'm not even kidding. But before I let you get back to the grind, I want to play a little game with you.
Sure.
I'm going to ask you like 10 rapid fire questions. Just blurt the first thing that comes to your mind. I'll edit it out if it's terrible. No pressure. Cool.
Okay.
Number one, what is one piece of advice that you would give for a budding designer in the industry?
Just do something that feels authentic and original to you.
What does your morning routine look like?
Hit snooze like 18 times.
Who is your favorite person to follow on Instagram?
Ooh, that's a good one. Oh, Lizzo.
Who's one of your biggest fashion inspirations?
Halston.
What's your go-to karaoke song?
Creep by Radiohead.
If any actor, dead or alive, would play you in the movie of your life, who would you cast as yourself and why?
Oh, that's such an amazing question. I play this game all the time with everyone I know. Who would play me? I really don't know. I would love to see someone like, I don't know. I don't know. Oh my God, I have no idea. Someone funny, okay. I hope.
That's good enough. What's the first job you ever had?
Working for my dad. He has a pool and spa supply store.
Who was the last person that you texted?
Let me look. It was my boyfriend, Mario.
What is the toughest thing about your job?
I think the toughest thing about my job is reminding myself that it's all about the sum of the parts.
And lastly, what does success mean to you?
Success to me means that when I'm done and I can't work anymore, I made a difference that I would be proud of.
Daniel, I loved having you on here today so much. Like I said before, you really are. I mean, you were my favorite person on social media. And like, I'm just so honored to tell your sustainability story. And, you know, you're the epitome of, you know, one man's trash is another man's treasure. I'm just really excited for you. And thank you for letting me be a small part of it.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. This has been such a great interview. You're amazing at this. Keep doing it.
Oh, keep doing you too.